Welcome to Talking Transfers, a brand new show from the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey. How are you doing today, Graham?
Oh, delightful, Scott. Lovely and warm in the Northeast.
How warm is warm, Graham?
Yeah, we're touching 17, 18, so it's definitely shorts and short sleeve top weather today.
Toby Cudworth, 90 Min's top cat, TC, is in London with me. 22 degrees for us, I believe, Toby.
It's definitely warmer than 17, 18. Although I think Graham wears shorts and flip-flops in like 10 degrees. So I dread to think what you do when it's 25 or 30, Graham, which is what it's going to be on Friday for us in London. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a shorts and T-shirt man. I'll throw the heating on just so I can do it. Yeah. So, although not so much nowadays. Yeah.
You really know we're a serious transfer podcast who have a lot to talk about when we open with the weather, like British people usually do. Both of you doing well. Just a reminder for you, listener, I was away last week because I was in a 38 degree heat in Austin, Texas. Thank you very much to Harry Simi, who stepped in. This is a brand new weekly show. We'll dig into the latest on the futures of the biggest names in world football, players or managers, albeit. And on today's edition, we've got a bumper lot of footballers to talk about. Darwin Núñez, Sadio Mane, Mark Rocker to Leeds, potentially to replace Calvin Phillips, Hugo Ekitike, Sven Botman, Robert Sanchez, Bernd Leno, all linked with Newcastle, Yves Bissouma to Spurs, also chat on Richarlison, David Raum, Mark Cucurella, Man City, Naef Aguirre, am I getting that right, to West Ham, Toby, I'm coming to you in a little bit with that. We'll talk Marcus Alonso, Azpilicueta, Serginho Dest, Frankie de Jong and Antony. That is a lot of players. How much time do we have? I'm not sure. We'll see how we go, and we'll try and run through as best we can. We're touching on a lot of clubs today. Graham, let's start on the news of Darwin Núñez at Liverpool, because we've had Erling Haaland confirmed by Manchester City in the last couple of days. Darwin Núñez, as we record this, undergoing a medical at Liverpool. Benfica have confirmed the deal's been agreed with Liverpool, and now it's just down to finalising of permanent personal terms and all that kind of stuff, wages and all this kind of stuff with Liverpool. So where are we on that? You rate him highly, don't you?
Yeah, I like him a lot. Yeah, personal terms are done as well, Scott. Yeah, he's already done those for coming in. It's just his medical, however long Liverpool want to take over. It's a day or 2 days, we don't know. But yeah, he will soon be presented. So he'll have that Liverpool shirt and scarf out the front of Melwood. Or is it still Melwood? I love this player. I think he's fantastic. I've been reading up a bit about his past. He's quite quiet. He's reserved, but he's so full of potential. I really took notice of him in those Ajax games when Man United were looking at him with Ten Hag, and he's got everything. He really has. And I'll be honest, he excites me more than Erling Haaland. He really does. I think he's got the ceiling on this guy. I think is towards Kylian Mbappe territory. I really do. And it's a perfect club for him. Not going wrong, I think he'd have done the same at United if he went there. But I think he'll be able to hit the ground running at Liverpool. It's a bit easier to go in there and have likes of Diaz, Jota, and the like setting you up. So I like him a lot. Yeah, so it's a done deal, 5-year deal. It will be a club record. It's not a club record deal at the moment because it's 64. If he achieves what we think he will and what Liverpool hope, it will surpass Virgil van Dijk's 75 million and it will become. That's why there's a bit of people misunderstanding in terms of people confirming what the fee is, because it's not club record at the moment, but it will be if, as long as he produces what Liverpool and everyone expects him to.
Benfica did confirm in this statement of what the fee is, just from their side. I think it was 64 million or something along those lines, with a potentially raising to 100 million euros.
Yeah.
Is that out of character for Liverpool, Toby? Is this a change in tactic for them, because they haven't sold anybody big either?
Yeah, well, they're starting to spend more and more. I actually had a look at their record transfers under Jurgen Klopp throughout his reign there, and they have spent big. They've spent big on Van Dijk, that we've alluded to, 75 million. Alisson was 67 million, I think, from Roma. Naby Keita was north of 50. Luis Diaz could be 50 by the time all of the money is paid. So Liverpool, despite what Klopp said many years ago about not wanting to spend money, will spend money. I'm not so hot on Núñez's ability in terms of getting to Mbappe levels.
But I believe you're just sour that West Ham failed to sign him on January deadline day.
We'd ruin him, mate, to be honest. It's probably a good thing for both parties. But he is a very good player. He's got a tremendous goal record for Benfica. Liverpool are the kind of club that don't make bad signings. That's something we were talking about in our chat this morning. I was trying to remember the last bad signing that Liverpool made, and we were struggling, to be honest.
If you are listening, by the way, we're not saying that Liverpool have signed players who are, you know, I don't think Naby Keita's really taken off to the levels that I think most people would have expected. Minamino, for example, hasn't gone well, but when you compare it to the price that they paid for him,
that's the thing,
probably selling for a profit. This is what you mean, right?
Yeah, when you consider the fee and the actual investment that they've put in the player. Okay, Minamino is an example of someone who's not really stood out, but for 17 million, he's done a good job. He's been a good squad player. All of their big money signings have been transformational under Klopp. Van Dijk speaks for himself, so does Alisson. Naby Keita is maybe the only one who hasn't made a huge impact, but he was great in the final few months of last season. So it looks like he's coming into his own. And Nunes will get time to get up and running. Jurgen Klopp will iron out any deficiencies in his game. That seems to be what he does with all players that he works with. And Liverpool are going to be a real force, regardless of whether or not Mane goes, which is looking likely, and I'm sure we'll get to that in a minute. And even if Mohamed Salah were to go within the next year, Liverpool are now well positioned for the future.
I did want to bring Mo Salah into this. We'll talk about Sadio Mane in a little bit as well. But one last thing on Nunes, Graham, before we move on. You mentioned you rate him highly. You've been looking into him in the past. He's elevated levels over the last season. Is there, you know, his goal? I saw his goal record, for example, season before last compared to last season. There's a massive difference. Is he proven enough for this fee?
Yeah, I don't think the fee's that big. What, 60 million down? It's not, you know, in terms of, it's not for triple figures, is it? So I don't think it's out of reach of what Liverpool would normally do. It's not a strange deal. And in terms of his wages, you know, he's earning less than a quarter of what Mo Salah wants. He's earning less than a quarter of what Haaland will earn. He fits in perfectly into Liverpool's structure. You know, the way their finances now, they've spent this money, but like the owners will be delighted. You know, he's coming in on a basic Premier League wage for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, we'll talk about Mane in just a second, but on Mo Salah, I'm not sure whether we've seen any changes there. Obviously, he's pushing for a lot more money outside of Liverpool's wage structure. And I'm looking at links between Man United and Antony, and I know we've spoken about in the past about Liverpool's interest in him as well. Any movement on Mo Salah at the moment, Graham, or is this kind of, he's got 1 year left on his deal, we're running out of time kind of thing?
Yeah, he's already said he wants to stay at Liverpool next season, sort of a shot across the bows for Liverpool, saying, look, I'm not going to leave, I'm going to go on a free. And Liverpool are quite happy with that. They've already said to him, if you think you can get £450,000 a week, go and get it, because you're not getting it here. And that's how it's panning out. I do wonder, we'll see all this Barcelona situation coming to a head. They've got so much to do. The Lewandowski links maybe cooled down a little bit. Did they turn to a Salah? I could see that. They've been linked after Raheem Sterling as well. So I'd keep an eye on Barcelona. I think they could be the ones, if anyone, to come in. Real Madrid, possibly, they've always liked him. But, you know, I think Mo Salah wants to go to Spain. I think he wants to go to Barcelona or Real to do that. If he can do it this summer, I think he'd probably try, but not in all likelihood, it'll be next summer. And, you know, Liverpool, they'll have got the money's worth out of him on these wages, etc. And they'll bid him a fond farewell, knowing that they've already possibly got his heir in Fabio Carvalho, who was through the door. And this, he's so good, this guy, he really is. And they may not need to sign the Lafleur. He is that good, in my opinion. But we'll see. And who better to learn from than Salah? So I don't think there's any rush here. Liverpool aren't going to come back and offer Salah what he wants. If he suddenly changes his demands and knocks quite a bit off that, they may do something. But I don't see that from either party. I think they're both happy where they are at the moment. And that will result in him leaving on a free transfer next summer, as it stands.
That is seemingly the norm. And it's going to be over the next few years. Players running down their contracts because of elevated prices to, you know, extract the best wage for themselves at a new club. We'll talk on that note about Sadio Mane, one of the other parts of Liverpool's famed front three, which is seemingly about to break up. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Mane is looking to leave. Bayern Munich, very interested in Sadio Mane, Graham. But Liverpool are standing firm on the valuation of the player.
Yeah, we've just done this piece on this today. as it stands, Liverpool want a deal around 50 million euros, 40 million pounds, with a few add-ons maybe, but around about 40 million pounds to do the deal. But buying a way off at the minute, they've been offering derisory sums. And Liverpool have told me, I've heard from sources there, it is derisory what Bayern Munich is trying to offer. And less than 25 million was the opening bid, which is just ridiculous. You know, you can't even get a championship striker in England at the moment for that. So, yeah, I think they're a good 10 million pound apart at the moment, but that can quickly change. And it's going to have to, if Bayern want him, it's going to have to change, because I know Liverpool has told Mane and Bayern, we'll keep him. We don't have to sell him. You know, if we've got five forwards, we're happy to have that. So Liverpool in no hurry. It was Mane's decision to not sign a new deal. He told Liverpool he didn't want to sign a new deal. These reports have been asking for £400,000 a week. I'm told they're a bit inaccurate, a bit mischievous. He's not looking for that. He's agreed terms with Bayern Munich at around £350,000 a week, which I think is probably market value about right for Mane, you know, considering how good he is. So he's getting a bit of an uptake as well from the transfer. It's slightly more than what Liverpool were offering him. So, yeah, as it stands, it's a bit of an impasse at the moment. Bayern need to come up. If Bayern don't come up, they won't be selling. And the problem with this is, as well as the Mane has decided it's Bayern or nothing, that's what we're being told, that the likes of Atletico, who were keen, they've been told that he wants to go to Bayern. So that does set up a situation where, you know, if they don't pay the fee, he won't be going anywhere. I can't envisage him not going. But as it stands, Bayern are going to have to step up to the plate.
If Bayern don't meet that fee, Toby, you know, are Liverpool overstacked there with Nunes, Carvalho, Harvey Elliott, Salah, yeah, Firmino, Diaz? That's a lot, yes, of players.
Yeah, the short answer to that is yes. And I can see Bayern and Liverpool meeting in the middle somewhere. I think 40 million plus is perhaps a little steep, given that Mane is 13, has only got a year left. It will probably settle around the mid-30s for me. I think that's a fair enough price. Mane's got at least, 4 or 5 years left in the tank at the highest level. Bayern are just posturing and trying to get the best possible deal they can do. But it's only the 14th of June. We've still got another 2 months for this to be resolved. And they'll just go back and forth. And it could end up being a bit of a long-winded deal. But I don't think Liverpool will want to go into the season, no matter what they say about depth, with Salah, Diaz, Jota, Firmino, Mane and Nunes. That's too much. And Carvalho is obviously there as well. So I can see the deal happening. It just won't be straight away.
That is an important point, Toby. We are still, as we record this, in an international window at the end of the season. So a lot of players haven't even gone on holiday yet. We'll talk Frankie de Jong at the end of the show later on. But he's obviously involved in Netherlands match with Wales. And obviously this is my first recording of the podcast since Wales qualified for the World Cup. So I look forward to seeing you guys. I don't know how I feel about this, because Wales are going to play the US and England. And usually I look at England and I'm like, oh, I hope we beat them. But I'm kind of looking at the US and I'm thinking, God, I hope we beat them.
Just focus on them, because if you beat them, then
it's not your hope you beat them. You're never going to get a better chance to qualify from a group stage. And But to be fair, I said this on another podcast, that Iran and America are looking at Wales as well and the other two teams, and we can get out of this
obviously
group.
Yeah.
Second place is wide open, but Wales, you're never going to get an easier group to get through, ever.
It's very true. It's our first World Cup in 64 years. Very emotional day last Sunday, as Wales did qualify for it. But I look at that US team in that first game and I think
Gareth Bale against Walker Zimmerman, a 90-min favourite.
Also to feature on 90 Min's Football Americana podcast this Wednesday, so keep an eye out for that. We have news just coming into us at the moment as well. We're recording this on Tuesday, early afternoon. Burnley have confirmed Vincent Kompany as their new manager. Who wants to take that one?
On the same day as their local rivals Blackburn confirmed John Dal Thomason. So two bitter rivals naming their managers on the same day.
That's a lovely throwback, John Dal Thomason from his Newcastle days in the late 90s.
Who has a much better CV than Vincent Kompany, I dare say.
It's such a strange one from Burnley, isn't it? That's a huge pivot from what they were doing under Sean Dyche and building under Sean Dyche. I don't think it will be enough to persuade Maxwell Cornet to stay, do you, Graham?
No, I don't. No, Maxwell Carr is an interesting one. Yeah, the interest is hotting up in him. Interesting, I did hear an interesting conversation about Carney where there's speculation that he didn't realise that his deal at Burnley was permanent. And he's looking down the legal avenues. He thought he was on his way back to Lyon. He didn't realise that he was, not that he won't be able to get out, because as we discussed, so he's got his 17.5 million release clause and more than half of Premier League have already inquired about him. But it's phenomenal. He had a great record as well at Burnley. So, yeah, it's an interesting one to keep an eye on that. Yeah, he thought he was heading home to France by all accounts.
It's a different story, bit of a throwback to the Robinho day, where he thought he was joining Manchester United instead of just Manchester. He thought he was joining Manchester United instead of Manchester City. Turns out he probably joined the right club at the right time if he'd have stayed a little bit longer. You know, because City are in a much better position nowadays than United. We were talking about Sadio Mane, and I was going to use that little segue from Bayern to talk about Mark Rocker to Leeds. I've done it now, so let's get into it. Mark Rocker to Leeds, Graham. Is this looking like it's going to happen? We obviously have reported over the last few weeks about Man City's interest in Calvin Phillips. It does seem to be picking up a lot more now that City are going to go for Calvin Phillips, just a little later than we reported it. Mark Rocker to Leeds then, is how close is that? And will this allow Leeds to sell Phillips as well?
Yeah, it's been quite a bit of interest in Rocker. There's quite a lot of Spanish teams looking to take him back to La Liga, former Espanyol midfielder. Villarreal, Betis, Sevilla were all keen. They were only willing to do business at about €9 million. Leeds have come in slightly higher than that, about £11 million, £12 million. Victor Orta, the Leeds sporting director, very established now in that role. He swooped in to try and get this deal done. And this deal is close. It is Leeds' firm favourites. We know that West Ham inquired as well at some point, and so did Wolves. But yeah, he's firmly on course for Leeds. And yeah, you would see it as a likely replacement for Calvin Phillips, who, we, as we reported, Man City have done their due diligence on him. Looks like he's the man they're going to go for. So yeah, but Leeds, fair play to them. They've made early moves. They've got the two guys in from Salzburg, Aronson and Christensen, a defender, which they needed, a forward who... Will Aronson be a Rafinha replacement? Quite possibly. And now they're looking to replace Phillips, but they will need a lot more than this, Leeds. But good work so far. You know, they've made the moves early. All these players are full of potential, and Jesse Marsh wanted them. So I think the nice signings for Leeds. You know, you sign these players with the hope that Marsh can do his magic on them and turn them into world beaters. So yeah, nearly three positive deals for Leeds early in the window.
Yes, it's important to point out Leeds, if they do sell Calvin Phillips, you'd think would raise a fair bit of money to cover the cost of these signings that they've made. But I also can't ignore the opportunity to talk about West Ham's interest in Mark Rocker that was just mentioned by Graham. Potential, they've missed out on Declan Rice's replacement by the looks, Toby.
Well, Declan Rice isn't going anywhere, mate, so it's absolutely not a problem. But
there's a club we just talked about, Burnley, there, Toby. We think... Vincent Kompany will be hearing from David Moyes very soon, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Josh Maxwell, Brownhill, they need
Maxwell Cornet, Josh Brownhill, both on West Ham's list.
I was thinking Josh Brownhill, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, Cornet as well is on West Ham's list. So yeah, I'd imagine Ben Mee might be as well. You know, Vincent Kompany will be fielding a lot of phone calls. So you'd think they are congratulatory, but they're not. It's saying, I want three of your players, and you're going to lose them.
You know what I would say? I think West Ham have been the team linked with the most players possibly in this window. We've somehow outdone Manchester United, who are linked with every single big player under the sun. And whenever someone joins, it's blah, 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 stolen from Man United. But West Ham have had an interest in about 100 players, if you believe everything that you read.
Talking of links, I'm talking about Burnley quickly, guys. I think Vincent's company will probably be linked after. I'm going to say at least 20 City players will be linked to Burnley individually in the next 2 weeks.
Loan deals, potential, this yeah. kind of thing. Because they released, how many players? They released 14 players.
But let's forget, boys, we had this confirmed as well, which is going to be a major thing coming up. A lot of clubs are telling me this. Chelsea, one of those who were impacted. This five substitution things is going to enable the likes of City, the likes of Chelsea, to keep these youngsters around and keep them happy, because they'll be able to guarantee some Premier League performance. This is going to have a major impact, probably more so on the Championship, but for these Premier League clubs like a Conor Gallagher, when Palace, the likes of Palace, Wolves, maybe we're looking for these very good loan players, they might not leave now because they might do like a Foden did and stay put, but now they can get more games.
Fair point to raise. I mean, and going back to West Ham, Toby, we were going to talk about a potential new arrival for them, which you've been on top of over the last few weeks later in the show, but I think we were just touching on West Ham, so we may as well do it now. What can you tell us about Naif Aguirre? If that's like, if I'm pronouncing that wrong, at underscore Scott Saunders, please get in touch with me. I'm not sure.
That's also my understanding of pronunciation. So any corrections can come my way as well. But we understand that West Ham are closing in on the transfer for Aguirre. He'll be West Ham's first summer signing. He's been away on international duty with Morocco over the last couple of weeks. Played 31 league earned games for Rennes last year, was largely impressive and also featured in the Europa Conference League. And he's a left-sided centre-back that David Moyes has wanted to recruit. Angelo Ogbonna suffered a serious knee injury in November last year, and it's yet to be determined whether or not he will come back at his absolute best. He's 34 years old now. The club are yet to exercise an extension on his contract as well. It's likely he'll stick around for another year, but he was an undisputed starter before, and that will probably no longer be the case. To facilitate Aguirre's arrival in a move that could be worth around 30 million to West Ham, that could also see Issa Diop potentially move on. He could be going out of the door at West Ham. There's a number of clubs looking at him. Nothing close, but West Ham are looking to strengthen. They've obviously got the Conference League coming up next season, so Aguirre is the first piece of the puzzle, but they need to reinforce in midfield. They need to sign a forward, ideally a striker to compete with Mikel Antonio, but it could be that they go for a wide forward like a Keane Lewis Potter, for example. And players play in different positions across the front line. Something I've said on the podcast about a million times now is just that versatility of players now rather than an out-and-out centre-forward.
Do you think, Toby, do you think Aguirre tells us West Ham's under David Sullivan, do you think it tells us where they're aiming for next season? Right, it doesn't strike me as a top four signing.
No, I think West Ham need to look at the next couple of years as establishing themselves as a top eight side. They need to be competing for regular European football. And Moyes has delivered that previously for Everton. They were always knocking on the door of the then UEFA Cup.
Just doesn't strike us. It doesn't, from what I'm hearing about, it's not quite.
No, there's kind of.
It's not quite the next Wesley Fofana or stuff like that, is it? No. It's a bit middle of the road.
Yeah, there are mixed reports about him. Some say he's good, some say he's pacey. There's concerns about how good he is in the air, but I think West Ham, more than anything, just need to bulk out their squad. January was a missed opportunity to strengthen, and they could have secured a Europa League spot for this coming season rather than the Conference League if they'd brought in one or two more players. Tired legs meant they didn't take advantage of Manchester United's poor end to the season. So I think the next 2 years have to be about bulking out and maybe not pushing to the next level with some top signings. Aguirre probably fits that bill. And then once they've got some more bodies in the door, it'll be whether or not they can push on. Hopefully then under the ownership of Daniel Kretinsky to spend a bit bigger and bring in some more higher profile players.
Of course, on the race for the top eight, we've had a running debate over the last few weeks and months about which United will finish highest. We'll talk Man United later on, but we'll transition into Newcastle at the moment because every podcast we have to do a Declan Rice mention and a Newcastle mention and seemingly a Man United mention. We did all the Arsenal stuff last week. Thanks again to Harry. A lot of Arsenal content in the chat last week, but let's talk Newcastle. Hugo Ekitike has been of interest to them for the duration of 2022. Nearly did a deal in January, but it looks like that one's close, Graham. And could there be another name to follow along the lines of Sven Botman? What's the latest there?
Yeah, Newcastle, they do when they do spot a player, they do like to stick with them. And it's shown with Ekitike and Botman, both very different deals. So Ekitike, yeah, is a player who they went for start of January, as we revealed. Eddie Howe loves this player. This is one of Europe's best teenagers. He really is. There's no teenager who scored more goals last season, 10, than Hugo Ekitike in Europe's top five divisions, which probably says a lot of how good this guy is. And in France, they think he is special. It's an interesting one where this player, you know, he's had the chances, you know, he's been linked to Dortmund, City. He's been linked after every major club in Europe. Why wouldn't they be looking at him? But he's always had this belief that Newcastle project was the right one. He's seen Bruno Guimaraes go in there and settle well. And yeah, I think he really wants to play for Newcastle. That's really refreshing, I think, from Newcastle's point of view. This deal is done. It's been agreed. It will be a bit of a convoluted deal. It will be, I've done a piece on saying within that we said it will be financial fair play friendly, which I think is a phrase we'll have to get used to, because the Premier League are keeping a close eye on Newcastle, whether that's right or wrong, seemingly an extra eye to make sure they fall within financial fair play. So Newcastle are aware of that. So with this deal, it might even come out as an initial loan, but it will be a mandatory buy. So he will be a Newcastle player. And we expect that could be this week. He did pick up a little bit of an injury at the Toulon tournament, which was played last week, which was a very interesting tournament. Actually, quite a few clubs were over there watching. We might actually mention Mr. Garnacho, the young Man United starlet, who was the star of the Toulon tournament. Scott, I don't know if you saw that, but Ekitike picked up a bit of an injury. It wasn't a concern. And he's due for a medical this week, from what we're hearing on Tyneside. So yeah, Ekitike should finally be put to bed this week. We have been talking about him for a long time. Unlike Botman, the Sven Botman one is a real saga. It turned out that he'd agreed to move to Milan earlier in the year. They agreed a fee as well. That one stalled. And when it stalled, Botman's people got in touch with Newcastle to tell them the deal's still available. And they got in touch with Lille. But the deal was still agreed with Milan. But Newcastle coming now with a slightly bigger fee. It's a strange, because what we're hearing from Italy, they're convinced that the player wants to go to Milan. But Newcastle are still persisting. Now it's Newcastle suddenly saying that they won't pay over the odds. But they're going to have to pay more than Milan to get him, is the blunt truth of this. Whether they will, I'm not so sure. And, you know, it's clear to me that Botman wants to go to Milan. He's spoken to Paolo Maldini, wants to play there. I'm not sure why Newcastle are hanging around here. They need to move on for me. But they're still in there. But as it stands, Newcastle don't know if they're going to get him. They think they've got a chance still. But I don't know. I still think he might end up at Milan, personally, because Paolo Maldini does have a lot of sway. Despite his massive years, he's well over 50 now, which is depressing, isn't it?
He doesn't look it, does he?
The last picture
I saw of him. But yeah, difficult decision, Toby, for Sven Botman. Italian champions Milan on the way back up, or Newcastle? Although they're on the way up as well.
Yeah, they're on the way up. But the only reason you'd go to Newcastle right now is for the money, isn't it? Let's be brutally honest about it. Yeah. Interesting you touched on there, G, that Newcastle are probably going to have to get used to this, aren't they? Newcastle tax. They know how every club knows how much money Newcastle have got in their pockets. Mm. They might take 25 million for a player from one particular club, but for Newcastle, it's going to cost them a lot more. And I'd imagine that would be the case if they ever went for a player from the top six in the Premier League. Mm. Newcastle will have to fork out that little bit extra for any.
I think that's what they loved about the Ekitike thing, where he just wants to come and play for Eddie Howe. I think as they get up the league, it'll become a bit easier. But with this Botman one, yeah, you know, this is a guy who knew about Newcastle's interest before agreeing to go to Milan. I just really don't understand their persistence with him. Obviously, they like him a lot. They've done the homework on him. It's a strange. I think if a player really doesn't want to come, I'm not even sure it's about the money with him. It's a really strange one, this Botman one. But we've seen, yeah, they've been sensible with it. You know, they concluded Matt Target last week, so it's a player in January, but Newcastle had such a good January. Every player they brought in did well. Every single one of them. Dan Byrne, Target, Kieran Trippier was amazing in them first few games. So, and Bruno Guimaraes, you know, finished the season as one of the best players in the Premier League for me. So, yeah, no wonder they're going after players at Target two more in January, because they did such a good job with all the other players. That's why we think, hey, we got it right with the other four. Must be right with these two as well.
They're also looking for a goalkeeper, Graham. A number of names. In the mix there, what's the latest for us?
Yeah, they were in talks with Dean Henderson. This was before Dan Ashworth came in, the new sporting director, the man at the top at Newcastle, someone else who is making decisions there. We've got quite a few of them now at Newcastle, which is what happens when you have three or four owners. They all like to have their opinion. But Dan Ashworth is taking control now. He's come in and he backed away from the Dean Henderson deal. I don't believe that one's completely off the table yet, but if it's going to happen, it'll be on Newcastle's terms, not United. So I think Newcastle, Man United, sorry, are looking around at other options for him. Another, so this is again coming back to, as we mentioned, the player of the chat signed in January was Bern Leno from Arsenal, who for me, I always thought he was the better option anyway. I must admit, I liked Innocent, but I think Bern Leno was a better keeper. I think it would be a major upgrade for Newcastle. We know that Arsenal want him, allowing him to move on. We've seen that Fulham have come in now for him. Fulham are really desperate to upgrade their goalkeeping department. And we saw Areola is now definitely going to West Ham. Toby, you'll be delighted to get him back as your number two. It's quite a strange deal still.
I'll be delighted once West Ham negotiate his wages, which are circa 140,000, and there's no guarantee that he'll be starting next year. So he'll be welcome with open arms once he halves that.
You got Darren Randolph, number three there, who's on good money as well. It's West Ham's goalkeeper.
He's still there.
They re-signed him for Middlesbrough, didn't they? So they paid quite a decent wedge. To be fair, he was the best keeper in the Championship when you re-signed him. But Fulham also made a move for Thomas Strakosha, the Lazio keeper. But looks like he's had second thoughts about coming to the Premier League himself. He's Albanian, isn't he? He's had second thoughts. So Fulham are looking around here, not frantically at this stage, because there is a lot of options out there. Sam Johnston still hasn't signed his deal yet, but we believe he's probably on his way to Crystal Palace. He did talk to Man United, but they couldn't guarantee him the playing time that he wanted, and neither could Tottenham, which is why they went for Fraser Forster. So, Newcastle looking around. They're in the market for this, but don't be surprised if Newcastle come in strong for Bern Leno again. It is a department they want to upgrade, so we'll keep an eye on that one. But, they'll be battling Fulham if they do go for him.
Toby, to just move on to... Where are Spurs going, Toby? Are they really... Obviously, we're getting into the Yves Bissouma. So Aston Villa have held interest in him. Arsenal have held interest in him. Spurs are talking to him now. They've been given permission to discuss a deal with him for around £30 million, we understand. Maybe just short of that. But that is an established Premier League player. Obviously, there are off-field circumstances here, which have to be mentioned as well. But Spurs are showing intention here. They signed Ivan Perisic. They've signed Fraser Forster, as we mentioned there, looking at Jed Spence as well. Are they pushing Premier League title contention?
Ooh, I don't know if I'll go that far, but it's certainly qualifying for the Champions League was huge. And Tottenham's summer of transfer activity would have looked a whole lot different if they hadn't got top four, because number one, Antonio Conte, probably wouldn't have been around. But he is sticking around. And Paratici is obviously having his sway with Daniel Levy, and he's prepared to put his hands in his pocket. They've made a smart signing in Ivan Perisic already, a proven winner on a free transfer.
I love that signing, by the way.
It's a great signing, isn't it? It's annoyingly good. And Yves Bissouma, from an on-field standpoint, is a very well-established Premier League player. He's got four seasons under his belt at Brighton. A lot of big clubs have looked at him, but have never made the move for one reason or another. And the reported £25 to £30 million fee looks like a good deal on the surface. And I was speaking to 90 Min's own Ben Haynes last week about what Tottenham really need. And he said to me, a central midfielder was kind of the next step for their side. They need to strengthen in the middle of the park, because as good as Harry Winks can be on his day, he's not going to take Tottenham to the next level. As good as Pierre-Emile Højbjerg can be in individual games, he's not good enough to start every single week for Spurs. So a central midfielder was what Ben alluded to was probably the next priority. And now this Bissouma deal has not come out of the blue, but it looks like Spurs are moving quickly. And Graham, we think a deal is probably close to being done.
Well, I just got a text actually, Toby. This deal is now agreed. £26 million, I'm told. This was done a few minutes ago from Bissouma's people. So yeah, that deal is now agreed. Got him penciled in for a medical. Is someone else going to come in for him? Arsenal loved him last year, but they backed away. West Ham have been linked. I think it's not a lot of money, £26 million, but it's one that Brighton obviously, the player, as we revealed on that email a few months ago, the player made it clear to Brighton he wanted to leave, didn't step in his way. I think they've got Brighton is so good at finding these players.
Moises Caicedo there, obviously, to kind of, you know.
He's... Yeah, he's wonderful. I saw them both at Leeds, and you see he's ready to step into that role. But yeah, Bissouma, wonderful player. I think he finished the season brilliantly, and him and Bentancur could be very special. In there, you know,
why was he a left centre back nowadays? By the way, Ben Davis is in the form of his life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I don't know whether they're going to look there next.
There's a bit reticent out there because I think Spurs fans are back. We thought it was Bakayoko, didn't we? And you know, I like him a lot. I think it's a very special. And the Villa stuff was true. But the player wanted to go to London, apparently. That's the key thing there. Gerrard wanted him to come in with Kamara to form that midfield duo. But no, the player wanted to move to London, which, to be fair, we did hear that last summer as well, that he was quite keen on moving to the capital for some reason.
It's quite funny, actually, because Spurs were looking at John McGinn, weren't they, at one point? And if Villa had got Bissouma, Spurs might have looked at McGinn, who would cost double the amount. So for Spurs, this is a decent move.
Mm. Sorry, it was Ndombele I was referring to. I think that's the thing with some Spurs fans, to think, oh no, Ndombele was like the player in Europe when we signed him. So I think there'll always be a little bit reticent to these midfielders coming in. But yeah, but as you say, I think Winks, this might be curtains for Harry Winks' Spurs career. I really do.
That's a really good point there, Graham. Ndombele, what's he doing next season? Because Leon aren't going to pay that extraordinary figure that they agreed in the loan deal.
No, and it's a point, you make a great point too, because, and I do make this point with a lot of players, and we were talking to 90-minute staff about this morning. Anthony Martial, for instance, his contract, he's getting a big... All these contracts that are giving out these 4, 5, and 6-year deals, what the listeners need to realise is these wages go up and up and up. That's why it gets even harder. United to try and get rid of Martial now is even harder because he's probably on extra 50, 60, even more £1,000 a week. It's not just Martial, it's Ndombele, as we said. He's going to be getting even more money off Tottenham this summer. So it gets even harder to get rid of some of these players. So it's great signing these players on 5-year deals, like the Ekiteke, who we just said. But if these guys don't do it, it's really hard to get rid of them at the end of it.
Richarlison, Graham, in reference to Tottenham as well, before we move on to other clubs, City, Chelsea and Manchester United, we have left to talk about. We might run out of time, but we'll see. What is the latest with his future?
Yeah, we know he wants to leave Everton. It's been part of his plan with his agents since he came to England. He's always had this plan set in place, go to Watford, go to Everton, and then move on to top four before maybe Real Madrid and Barcelona. Hey, and let's not have a go at him. A lot of players have these plans put in place. Richarlison, is he ready for this level now? I think he is. I'm a big fan of his. I think he is one of the most Marmite players in the Premier League. And I was on a Arsenal and Chelsea podcast last week, both linked to him as well. And it was staggering, the difference in opinion. Some, you know, some love him, some hate him. And I think he's a fabulous player. I love his aggression. I love his, you know, his dynamism. He's full of running at best. Yeah, he is a handful, both on and off the pitch, by the looks of it. Out of all these teams who've been linked to him, the Arsenals, Chelsea and Spurs, I find the Spurs one the hardest to figure. I really don't see where he fits in really here. Maybe on the right if Kulusevski isn't there, but I think that's an awful lot of money to pay for him for someone to compete with Kulusevski, personally. I just find this one, Spurs are interested, they are talking. Arsenal are interested still. Chelsea are sniffing as well. I just find it hard to see him in this Spurs shirt, to be honest.
Let's swiftly move on, because we do need to get through Manchester City, Chelsea and Manchester United before we move off for this week.
There is that quick Middlesbrough one, Scott. Jed Spence, for Spurs fans, talks are ongoing. Middlesbrough's £20 million demand might be a bit too much for them. I still think he's going to go there, but Spurs are still not done with Adama Traore as well. So we'll keep an eye on him.
Keep an eye out for that one. Manchester City are looking for a left back, Graham. Coochie Coo is in my notes. Mark Cucciarella from Brighton. Very, very, you know, when Brighton did sign him, I thought, ooh, that's a decent signing. And it's turned out that he has elevated his value. Man City are interested in him and also German international David Raum as well.
Yeah, we're told that obviously Cucciarella is the main area is the main player on City's radar for this left-hand side. You know, Zinchenko, we spoke about, didn't we, Toby, on last week's pod, where Zinchenko doesn't want really to be playing on the left anymore. He wants to be a centre midfielder. So he might end up leaving, which will leave a hole. We obviously know Mendy isn't there at the moment, so that's already someone needs to come in. So Cucurella, yeah, he's available at the right price, as we've seen with Basuma. Brighton will sell. So, and I think he'd be a staggeringly good signing for Man City. He's played really well. They've still got Solly March there, obviously, Brighton, but I think they are looking at being linked after a few players already, so they are considering this. But yeah, and an interesting one is David Raum, who City have had conversations with Hoffenheim about. Their Ikko Ikatura, the Japanese central defender, is of interest to Hoffenheim. And during these conversations, I'm told that City made inquiries about Raum. They want to know his situation, want to know what's happening with him. Dortmund love this player. We think Dortmund are really hot on him. But City, yeah, it's doing the due diligence. It's how good clubs work, isn't it? Why wouldn't they ask Hoffenheim about him? Because I like this guy. I think he was fantastic against England. He showed up really well. So I think if Cucurella didn't come about, this is a player who they would think about. And so, yeah, there has been a few conversations. No bids imminent, but they were checking on his situation.
Before we move into the final section, quick line on Marcus Alonso, Cesar Azpilicueta, and potentially Sergio Dest coming in the other direction.
Yeah, it's this thing where Azpilicueta and Alonso, like so many players in this transfer window, want to go to Barcelona.
It's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, Toby.
There is. And it's staggering that it's such as the... And this window seems to be one where the players agree deals with the clubs they're going to, forgetting about the fact they don't have permission. Not that they don't have permission, they don't have a fee agreed. There's no deal there. At the moment, there's no deal for Alonso and Azpilicueta to go to Barcelona. Barcelona know this. They don't particularly want to pay a lot of money for either player. Although Alonso is playing for Spain, he's Spain's left back, so he does hold some value. Chelsea have already informed Emerson that he's coming back to Stamford Bridge in the summer. He had a wonderful season at Lyon, he really did. And to me, he looks more like a Chilwell understudy than Alonso ever did. We know there was a fallout between Tuchel and Alonso, and Tuchel is not going to stand in his way, as for the creditor as well. And this is where Dest comes in, where Barcelona really don't have the funds to be spending a lot of money on two aging defenders. So, but they do have Sergio Dest in hand, who, for some reason, isn't really in Xavi's thoughts. We saw Daniel Alves come in last year as well. So, yeah... We know that Sergio Dest has been offered to United, to Ten Hag. He likes him as well. So I think there's a good chance Dest comes to England, and he might be offered in this deal we're hearing that if Chelsea want him, is there a deal to be done? I think there is. And I think Dest would be a wonderful backup to Reece James. I think Chelsea, if they get rid of Alonso and Azpilicueta and bring in Dest, suddenly I think they're landing on their feet. I really do.
You've kind of got to admire Barcelona in a way, haven't you? They've got no money. They know they've got no money, but they don't care. They're still going to try and sign every player under the sun. It's remarkable.
Did they need Alonso? Is Jordi Alba playing that poorly? Did they need Azpilicueta to play right? I don't see the need for, and Andreas Christensen's already going in there. I don't see the need for Barcelona to sign these two players personally. But hey, where does that stop Barcelona?
Can't even register Frank Cassie at the moment, who is...
Yeah, it's like going back. I was speaking to someone in Spain before, and they said this to me. I said, well, wasn't that last summer? I said, yeah, at the moment, the finances is in such an issue that the Spanish League don't look as if they're going to allow them to register Cassie and Christensen, as you say, Scott. So back to where we started with Barcelona, I think.
How much will getting Ousmane Dembele's wages off the books help? Because we think he's Chelsea-bound as well, don't we, Gene?
Yes, we do. Very much one we've been on since January. And you know, I think Dembele was dealt us. Some of the press were so savage on him. It's like, oh, Barcelona, if you remember mid-January, Barcelona said they wanted Dembele to leave. And we said, well, you can't just tell him to leave. He's on a free trial. It's not a computer game. You can't just tell him to leave. And then he played out the season wonderfully well. He's refusing to take a wage drop, which is what Barcelona have offered him. And he's got Chelsea and PSG waiting for him. Obviously, PSG's interest, we understand, is waning slightly with Luis Campos going in. He wants to have his own impact on the transfer market. So I think Chelsea, well, we know they are very much front runners. We're close to doing this. Tuchel loves him. I think this could be one of the deals of the summer. I really do.
Dembele coming from Barcelona potentially to Chelsea, obviously, and from one awfully run club to another. Manchester United pursuing Frankie de Jong at the moment. And also, we reported on, this was February time, was it, Graham? About interest in Antony from United. Obviously, we know that United and Erik ten Hag really want Frankie de Jong. Seems to have been dragging on a little bit, but he's been on international duty with the Netherlands, as we mentioned earlier in the show. Where do we stand with this, and how does Antony link into the transfer strategy?
Yeah, we did the young piece. We did we've done a couple of pieces the last 2 weeks. We know United are trying to get him in for a medical before the after the international window, which I think it ends later this week, since we've been going on for about 6 weeks. So yeah, that one is getting there. De Jong, you know, the De Jong deal is expensive. It really it is, not just for a fee, but he comes with a hefty wage bracket as well. He will be, I think he'll only be second to third to De Gea and Ronaldo when he comes in, and wages wise, he's going to be one of the Premier League's highest paid players, one of United's highest paid players. It's a risk, clearly, but and then United have got to pay the fee with it. Normally, it's one or the other, isn't it? It's a big fee, smaller wages, like we discussed with Darwin Nunes. This United one is a massive outlay, but it's one that Ten Hag wants. So if United are going to back their new manager, they've got to do it. They've missed out on Nunes. I think the fans need this one. I like De Jong a lot. I think, as I've said before, I think this could be United's Dennis Bergkamp or their Coutinho, where it's a world-class player, I think, personally, who's obviously dropped off the radar a little bit at Barca. You know, there's not many teams where De Jong would drop off slightly in the thinking, but they've got Pedri and Gavi, so, and they've got Kessie going in. There's only a few teams in the world who they could do without. So, no, I think United are going to get this done. They're not too far off from what I understand. But yeah, I think they're trying to drive a hard deal. But Barcelona, as we just discussed, need the money. So, but you've got to take his wages with it. So I think this one is getting there. Ten Hag wants it. He obviously wants him in Van de Beek. And he wants other Ajax players as well. As you said, Scott, Antony is on their radar. They've liked him for a long time, as we published. He's not imminent. This really is an imminent deal, this one. But I still think there is that interest. But he's about four or five on their list, from what I'm told. I think they want a defender in after De Jong, ideally. Maybe even another midfielder to go. Probably not next to De Jong, but maybe as a three. We still don't know what he's going to play, do we? If he has De Jong, as Toby, I think you said off air, if he brings in De Jong and Van der Beek, where is Fernandes going to play? it's going to be really interesting to see the system. But I think, yeah, Antony is on the list, but he's not imminent and it's not the priority.
Surely the priority for Man United is just being hard to beat to begin with, because they were so flaky last season, weren't they? Concede the first goal.
And I think that the De Jong deal is really quite important, because as much as you want to talk about United being hard to beat, they haven't had a style of play for years. And that was one of the big criticisms under Ollie, was sit back, counter-attack.
And you've lost Paul Pogba, Scott.
And Paul Pogba's gone as well. And Paul Pogba was on 290, 300k a week as well. So I think having a player in central midfield who is a ball-playing midfielder, as much as United want to have a, you know, they'd like to have somebody who can destroy and that kind of stuff, being able to do something with the ball, I think is very important, because you've got a lot of attacking talent in that final third that has not been living up to its potential. And somebody like De Jong, you know his qualities, I think is very important, not only for morale for United fans, as Graham alludes to there, but for Ten Hag's style of play being implemented as well, and for taking United to the potential that they need. And yeah, you know, they do need more, but I think this is a good starting point.
Big pressure on him, isn't it, to go in and deliver, because he will be the first potentially marquee signing of an era that Erik ten Hag has got a huge job, hasn't he? And if things don't go well in the first year, everybody will be quick to jump on Frankie de Jong, probably. Unfairly, I would imagine, because I think he's class and one player is not going to fix the multitude of problems at United. But I wouldn't want to be that player who's first in the door of that reign, I must say.
The sixth best those team chance, in England.
It'd be those chance, Scott, to bring McFred back when Van der Beek and De Jong, not well going well, maybe Conrad Lima to come in as well, or Neves, but then there'll be calls to bring McFred back. What was wrong with McFred? I can hear you saying that, Scott. What was wrong with McFred? Bring them back.
Yeah, that is what I will be shouting from the rooftops as United 4-3 defeats in their first three games of the new Premier League season, which starts in 2 months' time, just maybe 7 weeks or something like that, a little bit less.
Is it fixtures week this week? As well?
Fixtures week, Thursday. We will be up early to bring those to your 90min.com. on our social channels as well. You can also catch the latest on the stories we've discussed today on the website. We'll do the latest in written form on Frenkie de Jong and Antony's future. I believe, Nick Graham, you've put out a piece on Hugo Ekitike.
Sadio Mane is up.
Sadio Mane as well.
David Brown will be doing as well, yeah. So it will all be on site as you are listening.
All be on site, it will be as well. If you haven't subscribed already, please do. We're gathering a nice little bit of steam. Drop us a nice 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you're listening on there, but you can also listen. We do have an issue with our Spotify link on our pod follow, I believe, but you can find us on Spotify. Just might have to do it manually for a little while. And whichever podcast platform you get us on, just search for us, give us some love, and follow us on Twitter and at underscore Scott Saunders, at Graham Bailey, and at Toby underscore Cudworth. TC, we'll be back very soon. Graham, thank you very much as well. Thank you for listening, everyone, and we will catch you next week.